is another one to just push when you're done.
We're going to be discussing two sugyas basically today. One is the iser, if it's aser, when it's aser, to buy something which is stolen, buying stolen property. And the second matter that we're going to be discussing is to have hanah from something which is stolen. Not to buy it, but to have benefit from it, to have pleasure from it. The Mishnah in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, says, Ein loichim in haroyim, tzemer v'cholav ugdiyim. You can't buy from a shepherd wool or milk or young sheep, young goats. V'lami mishami peiris, etzim upeiris. Avoloichim in haroshim klei tzemer b'yehudu klei pishtim b'golu. And if any of them tells you, you know, don't let it be seen that I'm selling it to you, so Rashi says, what's the rule? The rule here, the rule of thumb is, as long as there's reason to believe that the item was stolen, so you can't buy it. Because maybe he stole me, tzoyno shel bal habayis. The Braisa says, Ein loichim narein, lo izim, lo gdim, lo gizim, lo tlushim, shel tzemer, abo loichim en tfurin. You could buy woven clothing because mipnei shein shelohen. So Rashi explains, because the godim tfurin, the inami gonvoy, even if it's taka true that he stole them, kaninu bishinoi, the ganif acquired them with shinoi. We know there's a concept called yish and shinoi rishus. If the owner was miyayish, he no longer believes that he's going to get it back. And in addition, either it's changed possession from the ganif to someone else's rishos, or the chavitz itself has been irrevocably changed. So we say that you're kind of with yish and shinoi, and therefore it's permissible to buy it from them. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva says as follows: also liknoi in Perek Hay Hilchos Geneva, also liknas min aganif hachavitz shegonav. You cannot buy from a ganif an item which was stolen, which he stole. V'oven godlhu, shei machzik yidei oivri aver. What's the avera? Because you're being mechazik, you're being misayeya, seemingly. You're being mechazik, a ganif. V'goyvim loy lignoiv ginevos acheris. And you're causing him to steal again. Because if he doesn't have what to do with what he steals, he's going to be stuck. His garage is going to be filled with a bunch of stolen stuff. But like this, if you buy it from him, so you're helping him carry out, and you're encouraging him, and it's going to be going, he's going to steal more. Shim lo yimsa lo keach eino goyin. If he wouldn't find someone to buy it, he wouldn't steal. Va'al zeh nemar choylik im ganev soynei nafshoy. The Rambam calls him, he's a choylik im aganev. If you buy from a ganev, it's considered you're dividing, you're splitting with the ganev. In Perek Hay of Hilchos Gezeilah, the Rambam adds one more avera, and it's a shayla, why in Hilchos Geneva he only brings down and he says you're encouraging to steal more, and in Hilchos Gezeil he says also liknas davar hagozul min hagazlan v'also l'sa'ad oyal shinoyoy k'dei sheikneyu shekola oysa dvarim elu. Anybody who engages in these practices u'kiyotzen mechazik k'dei oivir avera v'oivir al lifnei iver l'siten michshol. He's adding you're also oivir lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is an avera where the person who's doing the avera could not do it without your help. And since it's stamazoi, buying stuff from a ganis, he could steal it without you. You don't need his. He didn't need your help. So all you are, you're being misayaya, and you're causing him to steal more. But here the Rambam says, in addition, you're being overly thneiva. Thneiva is generally only when he couldn't have done it without your help. So the shayla, perhaps the pshat is by a ganif, no one knows who the ganif is. He does it discreetly, and therefore he will continue stealing even without your help. Whereas a gazlon, he's well known who he is, because gazlon is somebody who comes right up to your face. So since his identity is known, he's got to get rid of the stuff quickly. If he won't be able to get rid of the to fence the stuff that he stole quickly, so he's going to get caught. So mameila, that may be why he's considered he's being over on lifnei iver. Now, it would come out just practical Judaism. I know somebody who was walking down the streets of Manhattan. He was going to buy a suit, and he had in his pocket a few hundred dollars, and an individual came over to him and asked him if he wants to buy some gold chains. And he looked at them, and he looked at them, and he said, yeah, how much do you want for them? And he negotiated the price, and he bought it at a considerably negotiated discount. Now, the fact was that Mamon of Shachi shouldn't have bought it. Why? Because if they were not genuine chains, so he was not being ripped off, which is what happened. In reality, they weren't stolen. He was selling, it was junk jewelry, but he pretended, he sprayed them, I don't know how exactly he did it. But had they been genuine, it would have been usher, because he is being gurim, the ganif, or the gazlon, to steal more, and therefore the Rambam says categorically that it's usher to buy such goods. Yes? Lifnei Iver, seeming, the Rambam's not clear. For the current item, you're not being arbor Lifnei Iver. The chayr would be only on the previous items. Seemingly, because why? Because you're preventing him from being the kind of mitzvah of Eish. So perhaps you believe in the basic goodness of man to ask that question. But Hakoponim, this comes up. I know in Lakewood there used to be a store on Clifton Avenue. They sold used bicycles, but they didn't sell used bicycles which were people would come in and trade in their bicycles. But basically there was some inchi deloy mali, we'll call them, would go around with a truck in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they go and find all the bicycles left in front of people's houses or in people's backyards or in people's garages, as it were, in their sheds. And they would bring it to this bike shop on Clifton. I know my son's bicycle personally, his bike was stolen, and we said, yeah, they told, don't worry, it'll turn up on Clifton. Sure enough, we went there 2 days later, it was right there, and we said, you know, that's our bike. Okay, how much did you pay? Well, you paid $5. Okay, he gave it back to us for $5 because that's what he paid for it from these. But if you're going to be buying, I know there's a place in Lakewood, a certain corner, where every Sunday there are these people, these undocumented individuals, who stand there with tens of bicycles for sale. Now, if you really want to be, you know, if you're a big Melamed Zchus, you could say that everybody came to them and brought them all their old bicycles and sold it to them. But the Rambam's lashon is as follows. The Rambam says, "Im roiv oisa adover." It says like this in Hilchos Gezeilah. He says, I don't see it at the moment, but there's a lashon of the Rambam. He says, "Im roiv oisa adavar shehu ganav ein loikin oisa." You can't buy it if most of that item is stolen. So while it is possible that they have one or two old bikes which are being recycled from their children, if most of the merchandise there is stolen, even though you cannot specify which one is stolen and which one is not stolen, it would be also to buy from them. The question then arises, there's a fellow I know, he buys from these people and he sells them again. In other words, there's a guy on the corner selling bicycles which we shall say they were pilferaged in the middle of the night. So this guy, he goes and buys from them, and then he resells it. So here, you're not buying it directly from a ganif. You're not being misayeh the ganif. But again, you still have the svara that if he wouldn't be buying them, then they wouldn't be stealing them. So now by you buying it, and if they weren't selling it to him, if you weren't buying it from them, they wouldn't be selling it from him. They wouldn't be buying it from him. And therefore, in the long chain of events, you are being gurim them to be goizel, Gnevis Acheres. So you have to know if that's also included, or if that's like Misayeh, Din Misayeh, and you don't have to be Choshir so far.
My question with the eater is, because now the guy's getting a loss from it. He's not getting a loss, so he's buying him a loss. That's the question with the eater.
Having Hanov from a Gneva is, you know, to be utterly naiver, it has to be on a specific lav in the Torah. The Gneva that he did already. It's taka true, it's also to have Hanov from something which is stolen. The Levush says it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. So, and if he's a Goy, I don't know if they were Goys on a Goy to have Hanov from. At least naiver, yes, but. That's if they're being over the Sheva Mitzvahs, that you're causing them to have hanah. I don't know if there's a leaf na'iver on them having hanah. I doubt the chacham were goyzer on them. No, you can't have hanah from your gzela. Okay. Well, they're bound, but a goy is nechal leaf na'iver. Yes, so that's a big pischa tshuva about that in Hilchos Ribis, where he talks about if you're going to lend the money beribis, if you're going to buy, there's a guy who's lending money beribis, and you have the opportunity to borrow from him. So the shaila is, besides the other yisurim involved, are you being over leaf na'iver? Because he has plenty of people who would be interested in borrowing the money. So the fact that there are going to be other people who are going to be over this, this doesn't make less your leaf na'iver. It's the Pesach Shuvah. There's a tzad like you're saying, but Roy Vruba of the Pesach Shuvah, the person that he brings down, says that it's also. And the gram, that's true. You're not going to be going him to as the leaf na'iva shabai. There's no nafkamina because he has to sell it to somebody. So you're that somebody. So maybe you're over leaf na'iva. But as to being going him to steal more gnevis, he's going to steal anyway. If you're talking about jewelry, so he's going to steal more jewelry, as much gold as he could get a hold of. You have a point. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Gezeilah says as follows. In Perek Ches, Halacha Yudalid, says as follows. V'chein ha-karka, Eina niknas legazlam la'olam. Karka is never acquired by the thief forever. Elu bishus ba'alei kayemes. There's no shinoi. If you steal land and you make a shinoi on it, it still remains in the rishus of the original owner. Va'afilu nimkara le'elif zachar zeh. Even if you sell it to one person after the next, you sell it to the next and sell it to the next. V'nishyai shuabayim. And the original owner was miyai. She gave up all hope of ever getting it back. It goes back to the original owner without any money. And whoever loses it goes back to the person who sold it to him. He goes back to the person who sold it to him. He goes back to the person who sold it to him. Ad infinitum. Because karka becheskes ba'alei oimedes, it remains in the rishos of the original owner. And there's no such thing as yish or shin rishos on karka. It always remains by the original owner. So the question arises today. It's a shiloh which sounds a little bit esoteric, but it's not so esoteric. We'll start off with a more esoteric question. Let's say somebody wants to buy land in Vienna or in Warsaw. He wants to buy a house. Why? He has a mishigas. He wants to move to Vienna. And we know that before the war, there were many thousands of Yidden living in Warsaw, many thousands of Yidden living in Vienna. And you're able to track, yeah, this house went from Chaim Shmerl, and then it was taken over by this Nazi and that German and this one and that one, and went back and forth until today. You're going, you want to buy a house there. So the Rambam states there's no such thing as yish on karka. It's the oilim b'chesk ba'alei oimedes. So chayru, you wouldn't be allowed to buy property which was yudua, which you could verify, which is possible to be found out that it belonged to a yid. Number one. But more practical perhaps is we know that in Eretz Yisrael there are many, many hundreds of Yidden who are Rachman al not Shamit Torah Mitzvahs. And many of them die without leaving over wills. And if there's no will, the Choyk HaMedina is that the property is divided amongst the children, between the boys and the girls. There's no will, so there's even division of property. And the girls could end up with property. Now, Minat Torah, their property belongs to the sons, not to the girls. And then this girl goes and sells that property to somebody who sells to another person, and eventually now you want to go and buy a house in Tel Aviv, and that house belonged to this lady's father, but it really al pi din Torah belongs to her brother. So now if you're going to go buy it, you're buying stolen property. Is there any head there to buy this property? Or do we say, listen, the Rambam says karka b'cheska ba'aleh kayemes, and there's no yish on karka, and there's no shini rishus on karka, and that's all, and finished. So, I want to add one more question, which is mitzurif to this. I'm going to have to go off a little bit on a tangent. And that is, we mentioned, that it's also to have anah from a dover hagonov. Now there's a Gemara, and a kuf yud dalid on the base in Baba Kama. Kuf Yud Dalet on the base, says as follows. I'm sorry, Kuf Yud Gimel on the base. Amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchusa Dina, the law that the king stells avek, the laws of the land, is Dina, that's the law. Amar Rav, I'm going to prove it to you. Teda, the Katli Dikli, the Gashri Gishri, Vavrinan Alayu. The king, for example, sometimes decrees to build a bridge. So he goes into someone's property, he tells his Avadim, go chop down trees, they chop down trees, they build bridges, and we go on these bridges. How can we go on the bridges? It's stolen property. Alamai, Dina, the Malchusa Dina, the law of the land is the land law, and you can't be mefakvik, you can't argue with it. And that's why you're allowed to go on the bridge. Omalei Abai, Abai said to him, V'dilma mishum di'iyayish lumi na'yum arayu. Maybe it's because the owners were miyayish. Listen, who told you it's because of Dina, the Malchusa Dina? Maybe the owners were miyayish. Omalei, Rava says back to him, Eloi Dina, the Malchusa Dina. If not for Dina, the Malchusa, heichi miyayishi. How could they possibly be miyayish? There would be no reason for them to be miyayish. Now, on this, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Gezeilo Perek Hey Halacha Beis VeGimel says as follows: also lahonis v'davar agozel, you're not allowed to have hanah from something which is stolen. V'afilu la'achar yiyush, even after the owner was miyayish. As long as you know this is the thing that was stolen. If you know for a fact this animal was stolen, you can't ride on it, you can't plow with it. He stole a house or a field. Also, you're not allowed to go inside of it. Let's say you live in a stolen house. You have to pay the owners. Kedin hador b'chatzar chaver shloim midaita, living in somebody's house without permission. Gozel de kolim, if you steal palm trees, but also in Gesh you make a bridge with it. Also, so the Rambam paskins clearly that you're not allowed to have hanah from something which is stolen. Now, parenthetically, the Rambam sticks in that afilu la'achar yish. You can't have hanah from something which is stolen, even if the owner was already miyayish. Now, all of you, I'm sure, are ready to jump out of your seats, because we just read the Gemara. Abaye said, Dilma, it's because they were miyayish. How do you know it's because of Dina, the Malchusa Dina? Maybe it's because of Yish. So you see clearly that Yish does help. And once they're miyayish, there's no problem of being nana from a dover hagozel. So maybe the reason you don't have this problem is because either you learned like Rashi, or you learned like the Rashba with Tysus. Which means as follows. Rashi says, on this Gemara, when the Gemara says, "Heichi miayishi," it's not for dina the malchus adina. How would they miayish? Zot Rashi kloimar, mi have yish. Would it be yish at all? Ha yish kedi have it. It's plain yish. Ve'en kan shini rishos. The halacha is, according to Rashi, it's not the pshat yish doesn't help. Of course yish helps, but it has to be b'tziruf shini rishos, which means if I steal, Rachman, from somebody steals something, and he gives it to somebody else, and the owner is miyayish, so you have yish and shini rishos. So then it's mutter to use it, it's mutter to have anah from it. But if all you have is yish, yish kedi is loikon, you don't acquire something with the yish without it changing domain, it has to go into somebody else's domain. And therefore, over here by the bridge Rashi says is sitting in the rishos harabim. Sitting in the rishos harabim is not called shini rishos. And therefore, all you have is yish. So when the Gemara says, if not for dina the malchusa, Hechim Yaish, it means, how would Yish help? Yish wouldn't help you, because all you have is Yish without Shini Rishos. But in the event that you would have Yish together with Shini Rishos, in English, if the Gazlan would actually be Koineit, or the person who it was given over to would actually be Koineit, so then there's no problem of being Nana from it. Tosfos doesn't learn like Rashi. In the Gemara, seemingly he learns like the Rashbam, the Rashba. The Rashba says, what was Abayi's Kasha? But there's Yish. But we know you need Yish and Shini Rishos. So the Rashba says that there is Shina Rishos because he was Masra in the Rabbin. Since the king gives it over to the Rabbin, that's considered a Shina Rishos. The Rabbin is considered a new Rishos. Everybody's using it together. And therefore, you have Yish and Shina Rishos. That was the Gemara's Kasha. And on that, the Gemara answers, Hey Chimiyayish, Rashi says, that it's true you have Shina Rishos, but you don't have Yish, because the owners should have stood there and prevented anyone from going on the bridge unless they pay them. So it says, they should have taken to Bezdin anybody who goes on them. Why are they Miyayish? If Avada Din the Malchusa is going to prevent them from taking them to the Dintaira. But if not for Din the Malchusa, there wouldn't be Yish, because they could take them to a Dintaira. All we would have is Shina Rishos without Yish, and maybe you wouldn't be kind. The bottom line is, if you have Yish and Shina Rishos, it's Mutar Lahonis. If you only have Yish alone, or Shina Rishos alone, it would be also to be Nana.
It wasn't right away. I mean, we also, if people use a certain way, and nobody's much like because of the property for a day a year, so we know that in the dancing and the law, that, you know, the rabbis are using this now, so then it becomes...
Okay, so Derech Sheikh Zika by Rabbim also the Kalkaloi, if the rabbim is already using something, if they get the squatter's rights, as it were, but that's only seemingly if it's birshus or with the acquiescence of the owners. If the owners are moicha, they have the right to be moicha. They have the right to say, I don't want you going through my property. But once they let them go, then maybe they get rights. But if they, so over here he's saying, they build a bridge, make a machva, and stop them. Talk about the Jews. Stop the Jews. The goyim you can't stop because they'll pull out a gun. But the yidden, you can stop them. Okay? Now, the question is as follows. Why am I bringing this up? Because since we know there's an isser of being nene from a gavur hagonuv, besides the isser of buying it, there's an isser of hanah, unless you're kind of with yish and shina rishos. So I show you. Somebody went, we'll call him Reuven, we'll call him Shimon. Reuven and Shimon had a machloikis about who owns a certain property. Shimon, the property was written in Shimon's name. All, it was filed in his name. He was the owner of record. And Reuven had various tvias on him, and he kind of, it really belonged to him. Not going into the details of what the shaila was. They went to Bezdin, and Reuven was menatzeach in Bezdin. He wanted in Tyra, and the Bezdin says, this property belongs to Reuven, does not belong to Shimon. Unfortunately, Shimon was not a Yarei Shamayim, and he said, like they say in Yishech Fafteon, I'm ignoring you. He didn't pay any attention to the Bezdin, and he did what he wanted. And for whatever reason, the Reuven was not in a position to start taking Shimon now to ratify his psak in court. For whatever reason, there were reasons why he couldn't do it. He wasn't biyachilus. So, but the point was that Shimon went and took this property and he sold it. Now, who did he sell it to? He sold it to someone who was building a shul. So it was a stolen shul. Be aside. So somebody went and built a shul in a stolen property. So the question now is, according to the Rambam, that there's no Yishan Karka, and it's also Lahonais from a Dabar Hagonov, so is it Mutter to daven in the shul? Or is it considered a Beis HaKnesses HaGozel, and you're not allowed to be Nene from a Beis HaKnesses HaGozel? Now, many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the Sugya in Sukkah, which talks about Karka and an Igzeles, and let's say you would go and push somebody out of their Sukkah, and you would live in their Sukkah. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a sukkah gezula, but he holds you could be yaitu with a sukkah gezula. And according to the Chachamim, since karka ain't an exeles, it's a sukkah she'ula, and you could be yaitu with a sukkah she'ula. Adam yaitu yechavos of a sukkah she'ula. So on that, even though technically, as the mitzvah sheboy, you may able to be yaitu in a sukkah she'ula, but the Magen Avraham, in Simin Reish, Tuf Reish, Tafresh Lamed Zayin. He says as follows. He says, even though it's considered a sukkah she'ula in Choshen Nishpat, but practically speaking, you stole it, and therefore, ein zeh mevarech ela menayis, which means you can't make a bracha of leisha basukkah, and if you make a bracha leisha basukkah, it's a bracha levatala. Because the Gemara says if somebody makes a bracha on something which is stolen, even though technically, nonetheless, it says, you make a bracha on something which is stolen, that's not good, and it's considered not blessing Hashem, it's cursing Hashem, it's arguing, you yoytze the mitzvah of sukkah, so you didn't eat your challah outside the sukkah, maybe you'll get a check, you'll get a pass for eating your kezayis challah, the first thing you're eating outside the sukkah, but as far as making a bracha, asher ki dishonu b'mitzvah yisav etzivonu, this is not what the Ramban wants from you. So in Meila, zokti b'gad Avram, it's a bracha lebatala, and you can't be yoytze. He says in Tafresh Memtes, he brings a raya from Lulav Hagozel, a Lulav Hagozel, which he made a Shinoyan, that it's kosher, he says, Ein zeh mevarech el minayitz. The Magen Avraham himself holds after Yish and Shinoy Rishus, you could make a bracha. But certainly if all you have is Shinoy Rishus, like in our case where he went and he sold the property to somebody else. In fact, you only have Yish, but since Karka is in an exilus, there's no such thing as Shinoy Rishus on Karka. It would come out that you're being oivet, you won't be able to daven in the shul. Yes? He was meiche, but he was miyayish. He had no ability. He was under a lot of societal pressure not to fight. His kids were threatened to be thrown out of yeshiva and all kinds of gute zachen. He just wasn't, and it cost too much money, he just gave up. He was miyayish, absolutely, he was miyayish. So yish we have, but we say yish doesn't help on karka. So in order to be matzil, at least some of these cases, I don't know if it could be matzil. Okay, that's a valid point. Ain't feel also shall other mishmas elevates akinesis, right? The Gemara in Brachos. So you wanted to say that it's like davening chutz from a shul, you're right, but maybe you're right. But if you wanted to have the milah of davening in a shul, that you certainly the vassal mikdash shachanti b'soichem, and the milah of ain't kedoshin in shmas of beis haknesses. So maybe those what you made the minyan in your house. Maybe could be you're right. And Achanan, Reb Moshe has a tshuva about using a siddur which was printed on Shabbos, and he says that since there's chil Shabbos in it, so meila. I think he talks about that. He says, since there's an aveira in the mitzvah, you're being geirim, that the tefillah won't be miskabel. So, first of all, forget about the tefillah. You can't go into the shul. You can't be, you know, there's air conditioning. You're and the Ram says you can't go into a building that was stolen in the winter. Hey, you didn't steal the air conditioning, but you stole the building. Stole the property. You're walking on the property. So fly, you know what I mean? If you're not on the floor, you're right, maybe. But if you're in the mid-air, you're being netted from the property, right? If that's, how could I have a Kiddush basic Knesset if it's stolen? You could dive in there today, it's still around. They have minyan every day of the week, 8 o'clock. Anyways, now, there is a... This that the Rambam says, Felsveka Yesoid, that there's no such thing as Yish and Karka, the Emes, it's a Grosser Machloikis between the Rambam on one side, the Rosh, and Taisus in Baba Basra and Mem Dalit on the other side. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra which discusses the following situation. I'll try to do it quickly. A person wants to be made, a person, okay. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. We got four people here. Okay? The property originally belonged to Shimon. Reuben went and stole it from Shimon. Reuben stole it from Shimon and sold it to Levi. And now, Yehuda comes and complains that it belongs to him. Okay? So Reuben stole it from Shimon. Shimon is the Nigzal. Reuben is the Ganif. And the Ganif, Reuben, sold it to Levi. And now, there's a Shiloh. Yehuda comes and says, it's mine! So the question is, could Shimon, who knows that it belongs really to him, and doesn't belong to Yehuda, and doesn't belong to Levi, could he come and testify to say, no, it's not true, it doesn't belong to Reuven? And if he testifies it doesn't belong to Reuven, so now, I'm sorry, he's not testifying it doesn't belong to Reuven, he's testifying it doesn't belong to Yehuda. Either he's going to apostle Yehuda's Edim, or the Gemara has various permutations, exactly what he's going to do. But he's going to wrest the property from Yehuda. So Yehuda's out of the picture. He'd much rather fight with Levi. Levi is not such a shver person to fight with. He doesn't want to have to deal with Yehuda. The Gemara says it depends. If we're talking about karka, so then the halacha is he cannot testify. If we're talking about metalpalin, a para, a talis, he could testify. What's the difference? Because he says, the Gemara says like this. It's a Gemara in Mem Dalad Amid Aleph on the top, after the Hemshech from Mem Gimel Beis. It says like this. By metalpalin, since Levi acquires it with Yish and Shini Rishos, that means Reuven stole it, Shimon was Miyayish, and he sold it to Levi, so we have Yish and Shini Rishos. So if Shimon is going to come and testify to say that it doesn't belong to Yehuda, he has nothing to gain. He's not getting it back anyways. This is Yish and Shini Rishos. Masha'en came by Karka, since he is going to get the Karka back, he will get the Karka back because seemingly there's no Yish and Shini Rishos on Karka, so mainly he has a vested interest to wrest the property from Yehuda, so now it's not Yehuda's, and then he'll be able to go get it back from Reuven and Levi, and therefore he's possible to Edus. So Tosfos says, oh, it would seem from this Gemara that Yish doesn't help on Karka, like the Rambam. But then Tosfos says, no, it's not true. Really, conceptually, Yish helps on Karka, and he brings three rayos to that, which we'll get to in a moment, and Yish helps on Karka. The Gemara is speaking normal. Normally, on metalpalin, which goes from place to place, and you could abscond with the property, the owner is miyayish. By karka, it's right here. It's very unusual for an owner to be miyayish, and that's why the Gemara says he cannot be meyed, because usually you don't have yish on karka. But it's just not normal. It's just the usual. People say, hey, my field's right there. Why should I be miyayish? But if we could establish that there's yish, yish helps on karka. And the Rosh says the same thing as Tosfos. Now, what is the basis for this Tosfos that Yish helps on Karka? It's a Mishnah and a Yerushalmi in Maseches Klayim. It says as follows. Maseches Klayim, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hey. It says, the halacha is like this. In Hilchos Klayim, you could only make it osur if the field belongs to you. We have a principle that means like this. We always think, well, you have grapevines and you have wheat growing together, that makes Klayim. It's not true. It has to be that the owner thereof has to want them, either he plants them or he wants to be mekayim them, he wants them to remain growing together. Because we have a principle known as Ein Adam Oyser Dover She'ena Shaloy. A person cannot cause the issue of Klayim to come into being with something which doesn't belong to him. So the Mishnah says in Klayim Perik Dalid, Perik Zayim Mishnah Dalid, Halacha Dalid in the Yerushalmi. Right, if you shecht an animal, Shalakidin, you made it in Nevela. Absolutely. But in Klayim, there's a halacha that we need the Nechusa of the owner. You need the will of the owner for it to apply. Right, so there's we consider the Baal HaKerim, the Mazik, so one guy's the Baal HaKerim, one guy's the Baal HaThing, and there was a fence in between, and the fence falls down, so we tell the Baal HaKerim to rebuild the fence if he doesn't do it. So it's totally in who's considered the Mazik. One is the Mazik, one is the Nizik. Ultimately speaking, there is a certain level that you need the owner to be Maskim. Who that owner has to be, that's beyond the scope of today's lecture. Okay, now, Ha'anas Shazar es hakerim, a gangster, he came into somebody's field, and he goes, and he plants the field. He plants the vineyard with wheat. V'yatza milfonim, but it gets taken away from him. So kaitzer afil b'moid, the halacha is, the owner comes in there in chol hamoid, so we tell him that even though normally you're not allowed to be kaitzer in chol hamoid, it's a malacha on chol hamoid, but here it's considered a davar avod. There's going to be a loss because if the stuff continues growing, so then if it's Moses ben Messiah and the owner didn't cut it out, so it's going to be a problem of Mekayim Klayim, and it's going to become Aser. So Davar HaOved, we know in Chalamot, you're allowed to do things which could prevent a loss. But then the Mishnah ends off, Me'emasai hu nikra onas, from when is he called an onas Misha Yishka? Now what that means, we're going to see, it means basically, okay, fine. That's true when it gets taken away from the anos. But let's say it remains by the anos. When do we say that I'm in his field and I can answer it? So it says, the Lashon is Misha Yishka, which means when the owner's name is no longer recorded or known on this property. It's now known as the property of El Capone. It's El Capone's property, now we know it's his. Now, what does this mean? So the Yishalmi says as follows. Yishalmi says, Me'emas anika anos Misha Yishka. Amar Rev Acha. Nishtaku habailim. When the name of the owner has been forgotten, it's been submerged, we no longer consider it his property. And the owner is not miyayish. So the owner is still planning to get it back. He's still hoping against hope that he's going to get the property back. But everybody in the Gaz, he asks them, whose is it? I'll tell you, it belongs to the Ganif. So the Gazlan. So the halach is Asur in Devar Torah. So then the payrights become Asur min HaTorah. Nisyayishu habaylim, if the owners were miyayish, v'loy nishtaku habaylim, but if the owners were miyayish, but the name of the owner is not forgotten, isur midivrayim, it's also midirabonim. So it says in Yerushalmi, there's a concept called yishan karka. Frek the Yerushalmi, v'yesh karka nigzal. Could you steal karka? We now have a rule. We learn now, as a Mishnah, machlokes v'dazon l'chachomim, paskol l'chachomim, karka ain't a nigzales. Amar Rav Lo, aval tish ein karka nigzal, yesh yish le karka. Even though you can't steal karka, there could be yish on karka. Now, what this Yerushalmi means, big machlokes Yerushalmi, exactly what the Yerushalmi is talking about. So again, just in small review, if it's nishtak Hashem b'alim, the owner's name is forgotten, even though there's no yish, then the payers they grow are also min ha-toyra. If it's yish without nishtak Hashem b'alim, then the payers are also min ha-rabbonim. So there's a Chassam Sofer right here on the Yerushalmi, and the Chassam Sofer explains it as follows. See, this is the raya that Tosfos brings, the Rosh brings from this Gemara. You see that Yish helps on karka. Even though it can't be nigzal, it can be miyayish. And he says as follows. He says that we're talking over here, says like this. If an anos plants a field that doesn't belong to him, but he's oisa b'toich shalom, he's kid b'toich shalom, he's planting the fruit as if it's his. He's planting the wheat and he's taking care of the pears and he's planting. So these are his. You can't say conceptually ain adam oisa davar she'ena shalai because he's treating the fruit as his own. He's planning to take it home. But he says as follows: here we're dealing with an anos who's a goy, and when an anos is a goy, this karka will not produce pears that are osir because if it's a goy's field in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not going to answer it, Mishum Klein. That's what he says. But he says like this. He says, if the owners were miyayish from the field, so if the owners were miyayish from the field, Shtetin Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi says, that it no longer belongs the field, Yish helps on karka, it no longer belongs to the Yid. So it's a guy's karka. But since it's not Nishtaka Shemba, so therefore it should not be also Mishum Klein at all. But since the name of the owner is still recorded as the Yid, it looks like a Jew's property, and therefore it's going to be also Midir Abonim. If, on the other hand, it's Nishtak Hashem Habaylim, the owner has really been forgotten, so it doesn't look like a Yid's property. But, in reality, the owner was not Miyayish. Since the owner was not Miyayish, it comes out it's really a Yid's property. It could produce, this character could produce Klayim, and now the owner, who's the guy, is busy planting peres, so he's going to be producing peres b'dilei in his own property, and therefore it's going to be also. So according to this, some sefer kolbanim, his understanding of this Yerushalmi, yish helps on karka, regular yish, and you do not need nishtak Hashem habaylim. But yish could create that the property no longer belongs to the yid; it belongs to the guy. The guy is zoche in it, and that's why midaraisa it's not going to produce klayim. That's how the Chassam Sofer understands those Rishonim that learn that Yish helps on karka. The Tosis in Sukkah and Daf Lamid Amid Beis brings through the Rashi's Pshat. He brings a whole other Pshat in the Yerushalmi, and this is going to help us. He says as follows. When it's known, this property is known as belonging to the Ganif, seemingly a Yiddish Ganif, we're going to say that it's going to be also mina tayra. Va'aval pi shalon isyayishu abaylin, even though the owners were not miyayish, the loy amru vaylein chasaron kis, he didn't express his yish, he didn't say, oy vey, I'm never going to get this back. Nonetheless, the anan sahadi di miyayishi. We testify for sure he was miyayish. Va'afil amri the loy miyayishi. Even if he says, I'm not miyayish. Nah. It's like somebody screaming about his boat that sunk in the ocean. We know good and well he's miyayish. Oh, not miyayish. What do you mean not miyayish? It's down the bottom of the ocean. No. So umitzira midar aisab is viyasa onas. So mameila, since it's for sure that he's miyayish, it's like a deep yiyosh. The Gemara uses that, seems to compare it to it's Gemara Chav Da'ar on the base in the Metziah, which talks about Makam Shirah Metzuyin. According to Shimon Elazar, the Gemara compares it to the case of Zuta Shal Yam, where something sunk in the ocean, Taka, and it's Avud Menem Mikol Adam. So we say that even though he's screaming, he's not Miyayish, nah, we don't believe him. However, if he simply says, but if it's Abel Nisyashu, but on Ishtaku, if it's only plain Yish, Loi Mitzra, the rest of the character ain't exiled. So Taisa Sheet is, regular yish will not help you, but nishtak Hashem habaylim, where it's completely no longer, the owner of record is no longer this person. Nobody, so the lashon of the nesivus is, nobody in the world even knows it belongs to him anymore. So if nobody knows it belongs to him anymore, so then we say, even if he claims he's not miyayish, we say he really is miyayish. So it comes out as follows. Now I'm going to tell you over the nesivus, how the nesivus understands that halacha. There's nesivus in shin, ayin, aleph. It would be a shod not to tell you over this nesivus. It's so beautiful. He says as follows. What's the problem that you can't have yish on karka? The problem is Ramban. The Ramban says, if I have something in my house and I can't locate it, I have no idea where it is. And then, I say, I'm yayish. I think I lost it. And someone's walking around my house and they're digging somewhere and they find it. So he says, oh yeah, oh thank you for finding it. I was miyayish on it already. Oh, you're miyayish, I'm keeping it. So the Ramban says, there's no such thing as yish on something which is still birshuscha. It has to be out of your rishus before you're miyayish. And that's how he understands the halacha, that once a bal aveda, somebody finds an aveda, so you can't be miyayish once he finds it, because the moitzi aveda becomes a shaymer, and it's as if it's sitting in the rishus of the original owner, so you can't be miyayish if it's still sitting in his rishus. He says the problem on yish on karka is it's always sitting in the rishus of the owner, because since karka becheska ba'ala oimedes, land is always assumed to be in the possession of the known owner, so therefore it never left my rishos. It's true you're miyayish, but you can't be miyayish if it's sitting in your rishos. Karaka is always sitting in your rishos. He says, how do you define, why do we define that karaka is always in your rishos? We know, my basic rishos, I'll call rishos. If somebody steals something, so neither one could make it hektish. The owner can't be maktish it because it's not in his rishos. And the gazlan can't be maktish it because it doesn't belong to him. You need, it should be in your, it should belong to you and it should be in your rishos. Karaka, you're able to be maktish. But the Gemara says the following caveat. It says that's only if it's yochel lohitziya bedayonim. If you have a piece of land that you're able to prove in Bezin that belongs to you, we consider it that it's in your rishos, and maybe you could be maktish it. But let's say you had a piece of land which belonged to you, which is nishtak Hashem habaylim, that the known owner of record has been forgotten, and the nesivus adds, and nobody around, there's no Edom to prove that it really belongs to you. So if there's no Edom who are around to be able to prove that it belongs to you, so you wouldn't be Maktish it, because you wouldn't be able to be Maktish B'dayonim. If you're not able to be Maktish B'dayonim, it's not considered B'shoscha. If it's not B'shoscha, then maybe Yish will help. So going back to our situations, we have situation number one, when you're buying land in Poland or in Vienna or in Warsaw, so all those lands has been Nishtak Hashem, I buy them a long time already, and even if you happen to have record that the property belonged to your great grandfather, but the Polish government, the Viennese government, and the German, the Austrian government couldn't care less. And for sure, that's a gather of nishtak Hashem habaylim that you will never be able to be made yet. In which case, we will consider it yish. And if you would buy it, it would be considered it's fair to purchase. On the other hand, when you're dealing with the situation of the shul where the guy grabbed, everybody knows that this guy. The Bez didn't pass in already, the property belongs to Reuven. And Shimon just went and sold it to somebody else. So even though you have Yish, clearly, but you far from having Nishtak Hashem Abaylim, in which case, Ganti Tochen, it would be also to go into the shul, maybe not daven there, but to go into it, Al Kofanim should be a problem. Except like Taisis and the Rosh. It would come out as really a machlekes, according to Taisis in Sukkah, and according to the Rambam, so that there's no Yishan Kaka and Rashi Sheet, that there's no Yishan Kaka, it's never going to help you. Shum Shina Ba'olam, so it would be awesome. Masha'enk with regular Shin, regular Yish, conventional Yish. Masha'enk, and according to the Rosh and Taisis, then it would come out there and be Mutter. So let me tell you three things. Parenthetically, like 10 years ago, they were making a tumult about getting the Polish government to give back the property. And because I know I filed a complaint for a house on Stara Muska Street in Chmielnik, Poland. But in reality, they just squelched it and they said, well, yeah, we'll give compensation to anybody who lives in Poland. But if you don't live in Poland, then it's willful abandonment and we're not giving you anything. Number one. Number two, when they did it, even if they're giving compensation, they're not giving you back the property. What they're doing, then the property is theirs. They feel guilty, they feel compelled by the court of public opinion, and therefore they're going to throw a few dollars at the people. But they're not giving them back their property, it's not really theirs. Okay. Anybody else? We'll stop over here.